Hi, Nina.
Hi, Joe.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Welcome to March now.
I know. I can't believe how quickly it's going by.
This feels more like May, but that's okay with me.
It really does, but winter technically isn't over yet.
No.
So.
Oh, no. I've lived long enough to know it's anything can still happen, for sure.
Yeah.
What happened at the council meeting last night? You started with finance, it looks like.
We did, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there were two items on the finance committee agenda, but we had just gone through one. The second one is going to remain in committee so that we can get a full presentation from Paul Hines. So the item that we were discussing is a follow-up to an item that we had already previously discussed as well, is the order of taking for Broad Street and Field Street.
Ah, yes, this is for the new public safety complex.
Correct.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, any action taken on that?
Yes. So we had approved funding for this already. This is just sort of a step in that process.
Mm-hmm.
We were waiting on our final numbers for the two properties that we were looking at. And so this is for, again, Broad Street and then for Field Street. And so the action was taken to go ahead and move forward with that taking.
Okay. So that was mm-hmm. voted on and is happening. Does that have to go through the full council or is that just Finance Committee action?
It went through Finance Committee, and then later on in the evening when we were reporting out of committee, that was also reported out of committee.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that part of Father Bill's property also?
Well, so this is the property that's over there, but then also across the street. Right?
Okay.
So if you're driving down that road, you can see the property on the left-hand side where Father Bill's is, but
yep.
then you also look over to the right, and it's that other property as well. And this is, again, something that we were already planning for, but mm-hmm. we had to make sure to take the right steps to just look at the appraised values, you know, before we could move forward. So
okay.
this is just a step in that process.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And now where is Father Bill's going to be going?
Well, this is, you know, again, something that we are looking to continue to work forward with. You know, they have plans that they are trying to move forward with relocating, and
mm-hmm.
it's something that they are going to obviously self-fundraise for and apply for grants for.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't do anything until we take a step with the different land pieces that are down there. And so now that we have, you know, again, we can go back with them and see what their plans are going to be to move forward.
I see. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now, does the city own the building that they're currently in? Do you know?
That's a great question. You know, to be honest with you, I'm not sure right
okay.
now. I'd have to go back and take a look at that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. And then looks like money for the Broad Meadows Middle School also on the agenda.
It was, yes. Again, we need a full presentation from Paul Hines. So that's currently still in Finance Committee, and
okay.
then we're going to come back and revisit that.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Health Commissioner came before you.
Yes, Ruth Jones. She's a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of information. And Joe, I don't know if you guys had reported on it already through QATV, but we do have one presumptive confirmed case in Quincy, and so it was really timely for Ruth to come before us in the council and talk to us about what that means
mm-hmm.
and what that means for us as a city, you know, as we're moving forward. And so she had come in to talk to us and give us some information about this presumptive confirmed case.
Mm-hmm.
So as of the presentation last night, there were 60 people from that Biogen meeting, you know, that big Biogen
mm-hmm.
conference that had happened not too long ago, that were getting tested. And then out of that were 40 presumptive cases. 10 of those were from Norfolk County, and then that's the, you know, one of those 10 are from Quincy.
Mm-hmm.
And she was helping to clarify that the presumptive case is because when somebody gets tested in Massachusetts, they're getting tested in the state lab, and then if it gets tested as a presumptive positive, it has to get sent to the CDC to then get tested again.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it gets, you know, if it's positive there, that's when it comes back as a confirmed case.
Mm-hmm.
So as of right now, the presumptive positive in Quincy still has yet to be tested at the CDC level, and
mm-hmm.
so it still has to be tested there. The only positive that has come back from the federal level to date is that UMass student from really early on that was tested positive.
Right.
And so I just want to make sure that that's clear, because even before going into last night, you know, we weren't, you know, clear what does presumptive mean? You
mm-hmm.
know, what is that a definite positive, and what is the process for that? So to get that explanation from Ruth and to understand the process of what happens when folks get tested, you know, was really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make sure to stress what that presumptive positive means. In addition to that, She was explaining that this is a new strain of the coronavirus, and so there is no immunity to it. You know, in the past, we've had other strains of coronavirus, but not this one. This is a new strain.
Right.
And she had also explained the self-quarantine process. You know, you're seeing a lot of things in the news about people self-quarantining. What does that mean? And she had explained that in the beginning, the folks that were coming back from countries that were considered high risk were folks traveling from China and Iran, and people coming back from those countries, we were, you know, asking them to self-quarantine to get through that sort of a 14-day window. And they have now added, in addition to those two countries, people traveling from Italy and from South Korea who are also now being monitored. So anyone traveling back from those four countries, they're not exhibiting any symptoms, but we are asking them to self-quarantine just to take precaution and to be safe, you know. And we are checking in with them. We are checking in with them every couple of days, again, making sure that they aren't exhibiting any symptoms at all. And if they do and they do report it, then, again, we take those next steps to do the state testing and then the federal testing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when folks say they're self-quarantining, that's the purpose behind that, right? You're not exhibiting symptoms, or maybe you are, right? Either way, you could be perfectly healthy, or maybe you have a slight cough, whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm.
We are asking you to just, of course, again, self-quarantine just to be absolutely sure and to take the precautions. And so, again, that explanation was really helpful to understand that as well.
Sure.
And then the obviously, you know, towards the end of that, we wanted to make sure, okay, well, what do we do now? You know, as somebody who has not traveled to those countries, who did not go to the Biogen meeting, you know, what do we do, you know, because we want to make sure that we're taking the right steps as well. So, you know, the notion behind getting a mask is something that we should not be doing if you are healthy.
Right.
It should be reserved for those who are sick. And if you do, you know, exhibit any symptoms of being sick and you are wearing a mask, she did specify that the only grade that would work for a mask is an N95 grade mask. And again, those should be really reserved for medical professionals and for those that are sick. If you are just wearing a regular grade mask, unfortunately, that's not protect you from getting sick. And in addition to that, you're touching your face more, you know, and above everything, you really should try to touch your face as little as possible. You know, when you're out there and you're touching money, touching door handles, and then you go and touch your face, again, that's something that you really should stay away from doing. So the other piece to that is wash your hands.
Yep.
You know, I know it sounds really simple, but again, if you think about the amount of surfaces you touch a day, you know, and especially when you're out in public and you're traveling and then getting back into your car, you're on the train, you're on the bus. So it's really, really, really important. She could not, and I certainly cannot stress enough the importance of washing your hands. And for those who don't want to count or who, you know, aren't sure how long to wash your hands, a good thought, as she said, is to sing happy birthday twice, and you can certainly sing it out loud as well. And I think that's an easy way to remember it. You know, just make sure to wash your hands as much as possible, soap and water, for as long as it takes you to sing happy birthday twice. And and that's, just the best rule of thumb to remember, not just through this, but through any, you know, flu and cold season. She had also touched on hand sanitizer. I know a lot of folks have been going out and grabbing hand sanitizer, but unfortunately that only kills bacteria and not viruses.
Right.
And so she did say it is helpful to use it between hand washing, but it does not replace the importance and purpose of washing your hands. And so if you are doing something and you cannot get to an area where you're washing your hands, sure, you can use the hand sanitizer in between, but you should still remember to then wash your hands as well. If you feel that you need to use hand sanitizer, you should absolutely feel the need to wash your hands.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, of course, social distancing, you know, just being mindful of that, you know, where you're traveling to in large groups and who's going there, and just being, you know, again, mindful of that. But above all else, she said, again, just the most important thing is just to remember to keep washing your hands. You know, I did ask her about Clorox and Lysol wipes and are those helpful? Are those useful? And she said you can use those, you know, to wipe down door handles and kitchen surfaces. I asked specifically about, again, you know, wiping down your steering wheel if you're traveling a lot and, you know, going back and forth in your car.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you can use the Clorox and Lysol wipes, but that still does not, ultimately, at the end of the day, cannot say enough, replace washing your hands.
Sure.
And so, yeah, there's again, a lot of really good information there. Her office is, of course, always available for anybody that has questions.
Yep.
as well as the CDC, and we do recommend folks call both as well as look at the CDC's website if they do have any questions that they want to get from the CDC. And there are also translators on site at our health commissioner's office for folks who have questions and would like to call in as well.
Okay, great. Yeah, there's a lot of information on the city website, and the commissioner produced a video with the mayor just yesterday, basically reiterating what she's told the council last night. That's up on our website as well as the city website, too. So there's plenty of information out there for folks to educate themselves, for sure.
Exactly, and thank you for sharing. I mean, that's the best thing that we can do is just make sure that we're getting as much information out to as many different mediums as possible, you know, so even having the opportunity to talk to you this morning about it, Joe, you know, all those who might be listening this morning, I think, again, this is another medium in which we can share it. I hope that folks who are listening, you know, take the opportunity to share it with folks that they know as well.
Sure.
This is the best way that we can share information, right? Again, is through all these different mediums. So I appreciate the opportunity talking to you about it this
morning.
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely. We're happy to help. Before we do run out of time, though, three resolutions I see on the agenda last night. Any action taken on those?
Yep. So the first was a gift that came in, obviously, to DARE, and then that had passed. The second one that was on here was a resolve from Councillor Kane that is to explore the purchase of Harriet Avenue for the purposes of preserving it as open space and coastal protection. This is similar to Councillor Chuck Phelan's resolve not too long ago for the Beachcomber that was passed and referred to committee so that we could just discuss it. This is not to say that we are going to purchase anything.
Okay.
This is simply to explore the option to do so. Is it worth it? Is it not worth it? If it is, what are those steps? So it's entirely just, you know, again, to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing on here was a resolve by Councillor Mahoney and Councillor Palmucci for an update for the access road, the dog park, and the animal shelter. That had passed and is referred to committee for discussion and follow-up.
Okay.
And then the last resolve that was on here was from Councillor Mahoney, which was a request for the Attorney General's office to conduct an investigation. That did not pass and move into committee.
What was the vote on that one, Nina?
There was no second. Oh. There was no vote. I'm not sure how much you know about it, but from even the last week, what was being presented out there in the news, there is, again, my understanding is there's an ongoing investigation on this already. I'm not sure why there was a request submitted to ask the Attorney General's office to conduct an investigation that, again, from her, she has it this last night as well, and it's my understanding that was confirmed from her saying it as well, is that there is already an investigation that's happening. So, for us to request something that is currently happening, it just seems kind of strange to me. But in addition to that, we did get advice that for us to get involved with a state agency who is, again, already currently conducting an investigation and sort of requesting and referring it to a different office potentially, it just is not, a place for us to be in, because, again, the investigation is technically already ongoing. Mm-hmm. And so it just seems like it not the right thing to get involved with, to say, hey, yes, we are going to get involved now with something that's already happening.
Okay.
It just seemed, not, again, this is something that needed to be done because it's already ongoing. The investigation's already happened. There was coverage on it last week through Channel 5 Investigates, as well as some articles that had come out about it that did confirm that there is an ongoing investigation. So, again, just, a request going to request that just seems like we're requesting something that's already happening.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All righty. Anything else?
No, that's it. We have some upcoming scheduled committee meetings that we had scheduled last night. There's going to be an ordinance meeting preceding the next council meeting. So when we check in then, we'll be able to talk about, again, another committee meeting before we jump into the council meeting.
Great. Mm-hmm. Always good to talk to you, Nina. Thank you so much.
You too, Joe. Have a great day.
Okay, you too now.
Thanks.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.